From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I consider it necessary to make a long overdue decision to immediately recognize the independence and sovereignty of the Donetsk People's Republic and the Luhansk People's Republic.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has sent troops into two separatist regions in eastern Ukraine shortly after recognizing them as independent states. The United Nations condemns the move. The Biden administration issued new sanctions, and Germany's moving to halt the approval of Russia's Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. We'll get the latest. Then we remember Dr. Paul Farmer, the pioneering public health icon. He died unexpectedly Monday at the age of 62. In Rwanda. He spent decades building community health networks, helping millions of poor people in Haiti, Rwanda, Sierra Leone, the U.S., and around the world.
And the system that we built up in the 80s, really confronting another disease, tuberculosis, relied very heavily on community health workers who we trained and, more to the point, we paid. You know, we thought, you know, do we expropriate the labor of the poor, or do we actually pay them? Like someone like I would get paid a fortune to do consulting and work like this. And we said, no. It's clear they have to be our employees and coworkers.
We'll hear Dr. Paul Farmer in his own words and speak to one of his longtime colleagues at Partners in Health. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Russian troops have deployed to two separatist regions in eastern Ukraine after Russian President Vladimir Putin Monday declared them independent states. Putin made the announcement from the Kremlin during an hour-long speech in which he questioned the legitimacy of Ukraine as an independent sovereign state.
We demand from those who captured and hold the power in Kiev to immediately end the combat activities. Otherwise, all responsibility for the possible continuation of the bloodshed will be entirely on the conscience of the regime ruling the territory of Ukraine.
On Monday, the United Nations Secretary General condemned Putin's decision as a violation of Ukraine's territorial integrity and sovereignty and inconsistent with the principles of the UN Charter. The U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, also criticized Putin's move during an emergency meeting of the Security Council Monday night.
He calls them peacekeepers. This is nonsense. We know what they really are. In doing so, he has put before the world a choice. We must meet the moment, and we must not look away. History tells us that looking the other way in the face of such hostility will be a far more costly path.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky accused Russia of violating the Minsk Agreement and undermining diplomatic efforts to resolve the conflict in eastern Ukraine. On Monday, the Biden administration issued limited new sanctions targeting investors in the Russian-backed separatist regions. Meanwhile, Germany has announced it's halting the permitting process of Russia's massive Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. We'll have more on tensions over Ukraine with Nina Khrushcheva, the great granddaughter of the Soviet Premier Khrushchev, after headlines. In Florida, a state Senate committee has passed a Republican-led bill that would ban almost all abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The legislation now heads to the full Florida Senate for a vote. The bill makes no exceptions for pregnancies that result from rape or incest and would require two physicians to certify an abortion is necessary to save the pregnant person's life. Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis has called the bill reasonable and supportive of protecting life. He's expected to sign the legislation if it reaches his desk. In an historic victory for reproductive rights, Colombia has legalized abortion during the first 24 weeks of pregnancy. Abortion rights advocates gathered outside the Colombian Constitutional Court in the capital, Bogota, Monday evening, celebrating as the decision was delivered.
This is a big achievement. With today's decision, all women won. We want a greater recognition of our full citizenship, more security over our bodies, and over our sexual and reproductive rights.
The Dominican Republic has begun construction of a wall along its border with Haiti. The nearly 13-foot barrier will cover about half of the 244-mile Dominican-Haitian border. Other border enforcement infrastructure will include fiber optics, movement sensors, cameras, radar, drones, and over 70 watchtowers. The wall's construction comes as Haitian migrants continue to flee extreme poverty, political instability, and violence. Dominican President Luis Abinader spoke at a groundbreaking ceremony Sunday.
The construction of this intelligent border fence will help protect our nation, safeguard the interests of our country, respect our dignity, our freedom, and defend our sovereignty.
Dr. Paul Farmer, the world-renowned infectious disease doctor and medical anthropologist, died unexpectedly Monday at the age of 62 in Rwanda on the grounds of a hospital and university he helped establish. As a medical student in 1987, Paul Farmer co-founded the group Partners in Health to deliver free, quality health care to people in Haiti. Over time, the organization grew into a national network serving patients in many of the poorest parts of the world and dealing with crises from AIDS to Ebola to tuberculosis. Later in the broadcast, we'll look back at our interviews with Dr. Paul Farmer over the years and speak with one of his closest colleagues at Partners for Health. Mali's parliament has approved a plan that will allow the West African nation's military rulers to remain in power for at least 5 more years. All but one member of Mali's 121-seat army-dominated legislature approved of the plan Monday, which fails to set a date for future elections. Mali's military had initially promised elections would be held this month after it seized power in an August 2020 coup. A German whistleblower has leaked data on 18,000 accounts showing Swiss banking giant Credit Suisse held hundreds of millions of dollars for dictators, human rights abusers, drug traffickers, arms traders, and others accused of serious crimes. Among those named in the massive data leak is Saad Khair, a former head of the Jordanian intelligence service and a key U.S. ally who participated in the CIA's extraordinary rendition program. Also exposed were former Egyptian spy chief Omar Suleiman, who's been linked to the widespread torture of political dissidents, as well as Alaa Gamal Mubarak, sons of former Egyptian dictator Hosni Mubarak. In Argentina, 8 separate wildfires in northeastern Corrientes province have scorched nearly 2 million acres, destroying farms, pastures and wildlife. The fires started last month, fueled by strong winds, low humidity and searing heat and severe drought in a region that normally receives abundant rainfall. The Biden administration's paused the sale of oil and gas leases on public lands after a federal judge in Louisiana blocked the government from considering the cost of future damage from the climate crisis in its decision-making. Earlier this month, U.S. District Judge James Kane, a Trump appointee, barred federal agencies from using a higher value of the social cost of carbon, a metric that assigns a dollar value to each ton of greenhouse gases emitted. The Justice Department has promised to appeal the ruling, which is preventing at least 4 different agencies from finalizing at least 38 pending environmental rules. In Portland, Oregon, a 43-year-old man is under investigation for a Saturday night shooting that left one person dead and 5 others wounded at a protest against police killings. Witnesses say Benjamin Jeffrey Smith confronted Black Lives Matter demonstrators, calling them terrorists, before opening fire within 90 seconds of arriving on the scene. His bullets struck 60-year-old June Knightley in the head, killing her. Knightley was known as T-Rex to her friends and was a beloved fixture of Portland's LGBTQ plus community and racial justice protests. 4 others were injured by Smith's handgun before someone returned fire and injured Smith, sending him to the hospital in critical condition. Portland's police have not said whether they will charge Smith with a crime. The police initially described the killing as a confrontation between an armed homeowner and armed protesters. And Long Island University has announced the 2021 George Polk Awards in Journalism. The award for national television reporting goes to American Insurrection, hosted by A.C. Thompson, directed by Rick Rowley. The Frontline PBS film documents how the Trump presidency has emboldened far-right movements across the U.S. Asmat Khan, Dave Phillips and Eric Schmidt of The New York Times won for their investigations that uncovered intelligence failures and civilian deaths in U.S. airstrikes in the Middle East and Afghanistan. Also winning a Polk Award is Ian Urbina of The New Yorker magazine for his investigative report, The Secretive Prisons That Keep Migrants Out of Europe. Urbina tells the story of Aliou Kande, a 28-year-old father of three who fled his failing farm in Guinea-Bissau trying to reach Europe by boat from Libya. He was captured at sea by the European Union-backed Libyan Coast Guard and jailed at a notorious migrant prison known as Al-Mabani. Democracy Now! Recently spoke with Ian Urbina about his reporting.
What Western and non-Western aid groups that are able to get into these facilities, Al-Mabani included, what's routinely documented is extortion, rape, torture, and sometimes murder. What we were investigating in particular was a particularly egregious murder in which guards opened fire on migrants, and Aliou Kande, our main character, was killed.
You can link to our interviews with Polk Award-winning journalists Ian Urbina, Asmat Khan, Rick Rowley, and A.C. Thompson at our website, democracynow.org, and watch all the interviews and see the transcripts. Those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. When we come back, Russian President Vladimir Putin has sent troops to two separatist regions in eastern Ukraine after recognizing them as independent states. We'll speak with the great-granddaughter of Soviet Premier Khrushchev, Nina Khrushcheva, in a moment.
Да, я Крым посиле гей. Да, Волию захрамали. Чумак заслал. Да ой, заслаб, заслаб. Під возом лежить.
Yeah. Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be the chance of a shower with a high of 5 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be mainly sunny with a high of minus 9 degrees Celsius. Friday, there will be snow and a high of minus 11 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be mainly sunny with a high of minus 6 degrees Celsius. Sunday, there will be scattered flurries and a high of minus 3 degrees Celsius. Monday will be mainly sunny with a high of minus 11 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will be mainly sunny with a high of minus 7 degrees Celsius.
Thank you. put our dreams into the melting pot. Up on a shelf we label soon forgotten it. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. Well, in my dreams I wrote a letter. The doorstep of my mind returned to sender. And I don't know how to forget her. Mr. Postman, won't you be my great pretender? Girls, we poured our dreams into the melting pot. Up on a shelf we label soon forgotten name. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Those days are gone. Those days are gone, my darling. I'll take my time walking this uphill dead end street. Cause we poured our dreams into the melting pot. Up on a shelf we label some forgotten name. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Those days ago. Those days ago, my darling.
Stay, hope I can show you I made it out. Can't hold me down. You told me hold my hand. Just follow me, I'll show you golden land. And diamond water for a hopeless man. And all these things that you know, I know, I know. You said you don't belong here. Those eyes for an ocean view.
And the moon.
And we California dreaming from a city where that's so taboo. We chase sunsets to settle on the stars and moon.
And the moon.
And if I tell you about me, I hope you tell me what you've been through.
Been through.
Yeah, I'm always chasing this high. And all the pain in my eyes turned cold. December came by. Those storms don't ever break mine. Yeah, I was told to make it right. King on my city, frame white. You held it down on break light. I learned these things take time. Time. Hold my hand, I'll change your life. We both make plans, don't fade to light tonight and tonight. You said you don't belong here, those eyes for an ocean view.
And the moon, and the moon.
And we California dreaming from a city where that's so taboo.
Taboo.
chase sunsets, we settle on the stars and moon. If I tell you about me, I hope you tell me what you've been through.
Hello and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast made to be listened to in the shower, but you can listen to it wherever the hell you want.
The whole point of this podcast is that we take the mysteries of the world, listeners sending questions they've always wondered the answer to, and we debunk them in a bite-sized little chunk. Thus far, we've answered questions like...
Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Do parallel universes exist?
Why do farts actually smell?
What are allergies?
Do plants have feelings?
And loads, loads more. I suppose you could say...
We expand your mind while you wash your behind.
And this week, listeners, is no different.
We are getting squeaky this week. This question comes all the way from Limerick from a Mr. Colin Hand.
And he wants to know... Why does helium make your voice go squeaky?
So Taz, today we are going to look at why helium makes your voice go a bit squeaky.
Once I was at a birthday party and someone inhaled a massive amount of helium for
really?
A million. Yeah, and then fainted for a few seconds. Kind of just got lightheaded and fainted for a few seconds. And then he woke up and his voice was squeaky and he panicked. Didn't know why his voice was squeaky, and we just pants.
Oh my God, that is a hell of a way to start an episode. That escalated quickly. Jesus, what age was he?
7.
Oh, okay, right. I thought you meant like somebody that we knew.
At a house party last week.
At a house party last week, yeah. It was like everyone was drinking cans and somebody just whipped out a balloon of helium and then Dave pissed himself. No, anyway. Well, okay. But to be fair, I can't think of a single childhood birthday party that didn't involve huffing helium to make ourselves a bit squeakier.
Do you know what? For my childhood, helium balloons were not a thing. And it's kind of for the best, I think. Because if I got any squeakier, glasses would definitely start shattering.
Fair, yeah.
It would act like a dog whistle, attracting thousands of pooches to my location.
Oh my God. Oh, I never thought about that. That's a real life superpower. You could be like, you know, there's like Batman and Spider-Man. You could be like Catwoman and Dogwoman. You could be Dogwoman.
That would be amazing.
Just imagine, it'd be like the bitch. Dog woman. It'd be amazing.
He is absolutely delighted with that one.
But to be fair, like, that would be absolutely amazing. Imagine that, like, thousands of dogs.
Okay, Marcus, I was just using it as an example. Don't get your hopes up too much.
Can you summon the dogs?
Marcus would absolutely... The one time my voice goes squeakiest is when I lie. I cannot get away with lying at all. I will, you know, somebody will ask me, did I go out last night in work? And I'll say, no, I didn't go out last night. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. I know lying makes my voice go squeaky, but why does helium make our voices go higher in general?
Okay, so the reason helium makes our voice go higher all comes down to the density of helium as a gas. So what does a helium balloon do?
Helium makes balloons float.
Exactly. So helium is about 6 times lighter than air, and that's why balloons filled with helium float, and balloons you inflate yourself just don't.
Ah, right. Okay, so why exactly does it change the pitch of your voice? And also, how much helium would you have to breathe in to fly away? Is that a possibility, like Willy Wonka style?
That was terrifying, wasn't it? Who was it? Was it Violet in Willy Wonka?
No, it was Charlie.
It was Charlie. Oh yeah, he drinks the soda. Him and the granddad drink.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, that's
and
a question
you have to
for...
burp to let them down.
That's a question for another episode. The pitch of your voice is determined by 2 factors, right?
Yeah.
The first is your vocal cords, which are kind of 2 flaps of cordy like skin in your larynx.
Lovely.
Which vibrate at different tensions to generate sound when air passes through them from your lungs. So they vibrate in a frequency called hertz. Normal human speech, I think, resonates between... I think it's like 400 and 8,000 hertz.
Okay.
So 400 being the lowest and 8,000 being the highest.
Okay.
The second is resonance.
Okay, right. So 2 factors, your vocal cords and resonance. And resonance as in when you shout in a cave and your voice resonates around the place.
That's exactly it, but on a much smaller scale. So we all have resonant cavities in our bodies. For example, our mouths, necks, nasal cavities.
I have some cavities in my teeth. If there's any dentist listeners out there that want to help a shower gal out.
I don't know if tooth cavities count as. Anyway, like, helium doesn't change anything about you physically, right? Your lungs and your body and your mouth and your vocal cords all stay the same. But the difference is the gas you're putting through your vocal cords, which changes the frequency at which they vibrate based on density.
So since helium, you said, is much lighter than air, that's the reason it floats in a balloon. It's mm-hmm. a much lighter gas. It doesn't move your vocal cords as much. So when air is pushing through your vocal cords, it's heavier, so it's moving them more. Helium is a lighter gas, so it's not moving your vocal cords as much. And that's why the pitch is increased.
You absolutely nailed it. Yeah.
Okay, okay. So that's what happens when you breathe in a really light gas. But could you theoretically deepen your voice mm-hmm. with a dense gas?
You actually can. You actually properly can.
Okay.
So the most commonly used gas for this is called sulfur hexafluoride. It's a very dense greenhouse gas. It's not flammable. It's not toxic. It's just, yeah, it's a very, very dense gas. It's about five times denser than air. So it has the opposite effect to helium. If you breathe it in, you can go full Barry White. Seriously, look up videos.
Bang, and the dirt is gone.
That's Barry Scott. Anyway, no, it's if you look up videos on YouTube, it's really cool. You can actually like fill a container with sodium hexafluoride, and if you blow bubbles into it, they'll float on top of the gas. But since bubbles aren't airtight, they'll gradually fill with the gas and sink very slowly and pop at the bottom. Really, really, really cool.
So it all has to do with gas density and how it makes your vocal cords move.
That's exactly it. So at normal air, your voice is normal, and because the density of the air moves your vocal cords a certain way, helium is less dense, so it moves them less. Something like sulfur hexafluoride is far denser, so it makes you way deeper.
So it's all to do with the density of gas.
Bingo!
Cool, so I guess that's that question answered. Short and sweet. Any helium facts?
I have a few. So I have one that's kind of just a little scientific fact, and then another one which, to be honest, could be another podcast episode in itself, but I really enjoyed digging it.
Okay.
Okay. So first fact is that helium is everywhere. It's the second most abundant element in the universe after hydrogen. So despite how light helium is, it makes up for 24% of the mass of the universe.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And where does helium come from?
Oh, it's a noble gas. It's like it's an element.
Oh my God, that's yeah. nuts. Okay, mm-hmm. next one, the fun one.
Okay, do you know the house from Up?
Oh, yes.
Right, so in the Pixar movie Up, the old man's house gets lifted off the ground by hundreds of helium balloons and they end up on this incredible adventure. If you haven't seen Up, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You really should.
It's absolutely brilliant. The soundtrack is brilliant. You will cry.
You will. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing film. But yeah, you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, that's the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's obviously not possible, obviously. Well,
here's the thing, right? I did a little bit of digging, a little bit of maths, a little bit of research. A building like the one in Up, like a standard house of that size, would weigh about 100,000 pounds, okay?
Yeah.
Air weighs 0.078 pounds per cubic foot. You with me so far?
Yeah.
And helium weighs 0.011 pounds per cubic foot.
Okay.
A helium balloon experiences a buoyant upward force that is equal to the air it displaces minus its own weight.
I feel like this is the woodchuck episode all over again.
So 0.067 pounds per cubic foot of helium balloon, right?
Oh my God, okay, yeah, okay, right. Okay.
So one more simple calculation.
Simple, simple.
100,000 pounds divided by 0.067 pounds per cubic foot. And then you've got what it would take, right? It would take 1,492,537 cubic feet of helium to lift the house. Right. Now, that's just to lift it off the ground. Of course, you'd need some more balloons to get it higher, but that's the minimum. So the house from Up is theoretically possible. So say each balloon occupies 1 cubic feet of air. You could put them in giant helium balloons and you could actually have
a
the
floating house
from Up.
Can we make it happen?
Anything is possible with helium, Taz.
Anything is possible with helium.
Anything is possible with helium. I mean, like, now all I'm thinking about is actually, like, move away from the Up idea and go, maybe I could have a helium bike or a helium...
I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, I'm a lot lighter than the house. Well, at least I think I am.
actually, a little film recommendation. It's a film called The Happy Film by Stefan Sagmeister. He floats himself up with helium balloons. Yeah, it's...
It's very, very, very good.
It's very, very good. Anyway, so...
Anyway, folks, thank you so much for listening to that episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus.
Colin Hand, I hope you are satisfied with that answer. I hope that next time you're huffing helium at one of your crazy helium parties, that that you think of us and that you can turn around to your buddies and go, do you know what? It's all to do with gas density. And also, I know how many pounds of I know how many cubic feet of helium it would take to lift a house.
Absolutely. Guys, if you like this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, if you found that explanation interesting, then good news, there's over 40 episodes that you can binge listen to. There's episodes covering every topic you can imagine. You will find out some amazing facts, have some brilliant explanations, and you will be a more interesting dinner party guest if you listen to all those episodes.
If you have a question or you want to get in touch, you want to say hello, you want to do anything at all, do not hesitate to get in touch with us on Facebook. Just look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, or if you're on Twitter, it's at In the Shower Pod. Taz, what is the email address?
If you want to say hello or send a question to us via email, we are intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com. And as we say at the end of pretty much every episode, all you listeners are invisible to us. We can't see you. So if you want to just drop us a message and say hi, we would really, really, really love that.
We'd love that. We know you're there. We just can't see you. It's a shame.
A few thank yous to end off the episode.
A few thank yous indeed. A big thank you to Alan and Paddy and all the crew in the Head Stuff Podcast Network. Thank you for all the work you do. Please do check out some of the other podcasts on Head Stuff. There are some brilliant ones that you will love.
Absolutely. Next up, thank you so much to Flo Robinson for our brilliant cover art.
Thank you, Flo. A final thank you to David Gertzman. Good old David made our theme music. He's on Instagram at Dave's Recordorama, and he's really good. So if you need a jingle or anything, do not hesitate to get in touch with him.
And finally, thank you so much to you for dedicating your little ears to us for the last 15 or so minutes. I'm sure you look fantastic today, and I hope you have a brilliant, brilliant day.
And you've got a nice bum. So Taz, next week's episode, what are we looking at?
Next week's episode is asked by a Jennifer O'Neill, who is an optometry student, and she wants to know, why do we cry when we're sad? That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Well, I'm the one who gets into his own head when it seems like the world's going right. And I will think on words left unsaid when I'm left with my thoughts in the night. But you keep me in your arms, embracing the fear that I've held in my heart. And oh, your love, it keeps erasing the doubt that would keep us apart. Cause when you married me that Friday at the church at the top of the hill, I vowed that I would love you always, through the ups and the downs and the spills. So when a road seems to fade, or we lose our way, or we come to a standstill, oh, I'll take myself back to the church at the top of the hill. About that. top of the hill. Friday at the church at the top of the hill. I don't know why you chose to love me, but I know that you always will. So when a road seems to fade, or we lose our way, or we come to a standstill, oh, I'll take myself back to the church at the top of the hill.
Je pense à elle tout le temps. Passer la so hello again. It was just so bittersweet, so till we meet again. In my head, I'll dress you up, yeah, you're better when I can make your image into doll parts like your can. Guess that I didn't know about crying summer tears, but you taught me everything I know.
Well, that wraps up the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT. Keep on listening.
In the case of symptoms similar to those of COVID-19, such as fever, cough, sore throat, loss of taste, or smell, you should take a rapid home screening test. If you test positive, isolate yourself at home and please follow the self-isolation instructions. If you don't have a rapid home screening test, please self-isolate for the recommended period. Visit quebec.ca/self-isolating for complete instructions on how to protect yourself and others. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec. COVID-19 vaccines have helped protect us. Over time, the antibodies created after vaccination have been found to decrease. While we still have good protection against severe illness, a booster dose produces more antibodies that can help to strengthen our immune response. A booster dose is the best way to help protect yourself against severe illness related to COVID-19. Learn more and book your booster dose at canada.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Government of Canada.
You are tuned to CKUT 90.3 in Montreal and on the web at ckut.ca. This is Terminal 5.